Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it.
All right. Well, we are thrilled to be back in 2023 with the Mitchell Institute Scholars Speak podcast. And today our guest is Amarinda Keyes. So welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad to have you. I was just reading a little bit more of your background. I think it's such a great story to tell. And I can't wait to hear a little bit more about, you know, how you landed where you are now. I know that you started or you graduated high school from Noble High School, class of 2010. And I also noticed that you were the salutatorian. So I don't know if you want to talk more about your high school experience and then maybe where you headed for college and what was behind that decision.
Sure. So I grew up going to a small Montessori school, a private grade school. My parents are teachers. So I came from a very sort of small school environment. And then when I moved into high school, all of a sudden I was in a really big public school, and it was definitely very different than what I was used to. But I loved having a new environment. I had an opportunity to make all new friends and explore some extracurricular things that I didn't get a chance to do in the small school that I was at before. So I really enjoyed high school. I enjoyed being able to choose classes. I had been used to sort of having the opportunity to pursue what interests me with the Montessori background, and that sort of carried in high school. And I just love learning. I really got along with my teachers. I was a very curious student. And I worked really hard. It was the first time I'd ever gotten grades in my life. And I was a little bit motivated by that, I'll be honest.
We can tell by the results.
Yeah, maybe a little bit too much thinking back. But I'm really proud of my high school career. And I definitely learned a lot and really continued that spark and interest in learning through that experience.
We'll talk a little bit more about what you're doing now, what you've been doing. And now that you mentioned the Montessori school and your parents being really into education, that is all adding up for me. So
yes.
Do you remember in high school how you learned about the Mitchell Institute scholarship or how that process unfolded for you?
So I was trying to remember because it has been a while. And to be honest, I can't remember first learning about it. I know that I did apply for a good number of scholarships at the time. But what I definitely didn't know when I applied was the network and like long-standing connection I would end up having with the Institute. Like, I'm here however many years later doing this interview with you. I don't think I realized that at the time. And so my knowledge about the Mitchell Institute and my relationship and connection has definitely grown a lot. But I don't remember those. I wish I could have told myself like this one's really important, but I guess I ended up doing it and I received it, and it's been a really great ever since.
I'm sure that somebody in the school system, like the guidance counselor or college placement, had something to do with it, but it
yes.
makes sense. At the time, you may not have realized it. And now certainly looking back, you know, it has had a huge impact, I'm sure. When you were leaving high school, you went to Colby College, and
yes.
Do you want to tell us more about that decision process and how you got there?
Yeah, sure. So I definitely knew I wanted to do a liberal arts education. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do after graduating college for a career. And so I was just kind of drawn to the liberal arts. I applied to a lot of schools, I think like 13. I had a very detailed spreadsheet. But something about being a little bit closer to home, I was a track athlete at the time, so I really connected with the coach. And when I would go visit schools, I would often do it through the track group. So I sort of connected with some of the athletes. And Maine is so beautiful, and it was just, I guess I never really thought about leaving New England. I don't think I ever really applied outside. So that sort of narrowed down the search a little bit, but I applied early to Colby and I got in. And so, it was a great, great experience and not too far away from home for me.
I also noticed that you studied abroad. Can you tell us a little bit more about that experience?
Yeah, so I was a sociology major, so I was really interested in studying culture and people and how they organize themselves. And so I knew that when I went abroad, I definitely wanted to go to a very different culture than what I was used to. And so I ended up studying in Beijing, China, which was very different from America. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. I took a couple of semesters of the language at Colby. So I had a little bit of that to help me, but that was a really fantastic and probably one of my favorite semesters of college. It was really neat to get the experience of not just visiting and being a tourist somewhere else, but actually living there. It's a really different experience. So I'm really grateful that I had that chance.
Yeah, there's so many Mitchell scholars that have gone on to do that. And I think a lot of them have also used the fellowship program that the organization offers to help support that kind of thing. So glad to hear that you had that opportunity. I'm sure that pieces of that are showing up in the career that you've had too. Maybe it's not as obvious, but having that experience certainly can come in handy, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely another level of independence when you're living in another country. That's a little bit different, that you really have to rely on yourself and all those skills of navigating a foreign language or just an unknown culture. It definitely is helpful learning experiences.
As you had sort of talked us through your background around just loving learning and school and all of the experiences that you've had, it obviously has brought you to where you are today. So can you just kind of walk us through your career after graduating and how you put all of that love of education together? I was really impressed by how much you're doing in the role that you have now that seems both, sort of an executive and leadership role, but also an entrepreneurial role. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So like I said, I have a Montessori background. So unusual alternative types of learning has always been important to me. And hands-on learning was also a big part of Montessori. And so I always sort of knew about that. And I love kids. I had summer camp jobs as a kid, loved babies, loved babysitting. Kids was just always of interest to me. I liked spending time with them. And so I remember not really knowing what I wanted to do when I graduated from college, but I got an internship at the Children's Museum of New Hampshire for a couple of summers, and I did educational programming. And I just remember it was like the first job where I wasn't like looking at the clock or like wondering when the day was going to be over. I was just so engrossed in what I was doing. I thought it was so amazing that you could be teaching all of these hands-on educational programs, but they were fun. They weren't in a school setting, so they're a little more loosey-goosey. And everyone's like having fun there. Like no one's sad to be at a children's museum. So everyone working there, it was such a great environment. And so I explored that as a college student. I did a couple of internships at other children's museums as well. I went out to Pittsburgh for the month of January and did an internship at the Children's Museum in Pittsburgh, which was like a huge, huge children's museum. And then I discovered, which I didn't know for a while, actually, that there was a children's museum right here in Augusta. And so I started volunteering there. And so I did that for, I think, 3 years while I was in school. And it was such a small museum that the director at the time, kind of gave me a lot of freedom. So I started doing hands-on science with Amy on Fridays. And so I would just create the curriculum, put together a small budget and run a program for kids. And because I think she gave me so much freedom and autonomy, I really dove into it and I loved it. And I would help out at events and I kind of got to know the museum. And so when I graduated, I was offered a position as the assistant director. And then less than a year later, Carrie stepped down. And so I stepped into the executive director position. So I was a 21-year-old executive director of a children's museum and the youngest children's museum director in the country and in the world, according to the Association of Children's Museums. So I was really, it was a very overwhelming situation to be in, but I'm so grateful that I was brave enough to just jump in. I think I was just sort of naive because I was young and it was my first job. And so not only did I decide to run the museum, I also decided to build a completely new one and grow the organization as well, which is just bonkers. And I'm 9 years later and it's still not open, but I'm way, way further than I was before. And that's what I've been doing since I graduated, trying to grow the Children's Discovery Museum of Augusta into the Children's Discovery Museum of Central Maine.
So I imagine that also being in a museum during the pandemic was a challenging time. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so the pandemic was the reason that I had to close the original Children's Museum before my new one was open. And so now I am living in a limbo land with no physical Children's Museum exhibit space. But during the pandemic, because of that, I was able to focus just on sort of getting the new museum ready. But I had to lay off all my employees, like a lot of other businesses. And so it was just me for a year and a half before I finally hired another staff. So that was a very interesting experience to have to be doing then everything by myself. So I was like recording STEM time with CDM. So there's like all these videos of me doing children's science programming that were filmed by my brother who was living with me because he moved back from New York City during the pandemic. It was a little very grassroots, bootstrappy. But we made it through and we were able to do lots of virtual programming and things. But it was a lonely time, I will have to admit.
Sure. And just kind of making it up as we go. All of us were just creating the rules during that time frame. So I'm really glad to know exactly. That you can be, you know, getting towards back in a real sense of the museum and what you're looking for the community to have.
Yeah, definitely. When you work for yourself or you work by yourself or you're in a leadership position, one of the nice things is you have freedom. So you have the ability to try things. And so I was like, well, we'll do outdoor walks in the woods every week and invite families to come walk with us and do a small activity because why not? And so we did that. And it's just kind of fun to be able to pivot easily when you're in that kind of a position. So definitely had to adapt.
That's great. I remember reading that you are the only full-time employee. Is that still true?
It is still true, but hopefully not for long. I'm actually getting my first full-time person. My programs person is getting promoted to full-time later this year because we're getting so close to opening. So I'm excited to be not the only full-time one.
But in some ways, based on what you were saying, you know, being that only person, you've done everything. And so you have such an appreciation for any of what those jobs might be. And you've had
absolutely.
That yeah.
Yeah, when you're the only person, or I mean, you know, I've always had part-time staff sort of help me, but you know, I create budgets, I ask people for money, but I also like have to clean the bathroom and you know, bring the laundry home when the machine at the museum breaks, and it's definitely every day is very different, and you learn to do every single aspect of just getting the day finished.
Are there certain parts of the job that you really love, maybe more than others?
I love the kids still. I really do. I love doing programming. That was my first thing that I did. I tried and held on to hands-on science Fridays for a long time, but eventually I had to give that up because I had so many other responsibilities. But I still help out with summer camps. I still help out with the after-school program because at the end of the day, I really just do love spending time with kids and coming up with creative, fun ways to engage them.
I'm sure you've been a big impact on many kids, it sounds like, lives along your journey. Do you remember anybody like that in your life? Was there somebody in school or in college that just sort of helped steer you in the right direction?
Yeah, I think I've had a lot of different folks here and there that have helped me. I am blessed to have just the most amazing parents ever. Super, super supportive, always have been. And so I can always lean on them. My dad still edits some of my grants that I write in, right? And my mom will look at my social media posts and edit them. So they're just fantastic. And then I know in high school, I had one teacher who was my math teacher, but also sort of became a really important mentor to me and helped me organize and apply to all the schools that I applied to. And he really believed in me, and really pushed me to have reached schools and mid schools and really push myself. And so I think he was really important too. And then now being a young executive director, there's so many mentors I've had in my career and people that I go to over and over again for support and questions. Cause like I said, I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't really know what I'm doing, but I just reach out to people and people are so willing to help. And there's so many great women leaders that are in my community as well that I've really connected with and that support me. So I'm not afraid to ask for help, definitely.
That's important, especially in the type of job that you're in, it sounds like. So it's good to hear that you have that network.
Yes.
As you think back to your college experience and beyond, you know, a lot of Mitchell scholars that are currently in school are probably listening to these. Do you have a couple of pieces of advice that you might offer to them?
I think it's important to take those, that time when you're still in school to explore what's of interest to you, because there are a lot of opportunities sort of outside the classroom to explore your passions a little bit and see what you want to turn into your career. Because I think the reason I'm so fulfilled and happy with my career is because I knew I wanted to go into children's museums and I had had experience before I even graduated. So I knew I was interested in education because I had done these education things. I knew I liked children's museums because I had pursued internships. I tried to connect with other folks in my field, asking them questions or how to get into it or what is it like to work there. You have a chance here to dabble in some different things and kind of see what you're interested in so you don't jump fully into something and have to make a career change right away, which of course you can still do that. But I would definitely encourage you to explore a little bit if you can and connect with people. People love talking about their jobs. And they love talking about themselves. So definitely reach out to people and ask them about their career. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to talk to you, especially Mitchell alumni.
Yes, there's a huge network here amongst supporters and board and Senator Circle and other alumni and scholars. So lots of people here willing to talk to others. And I think maybe just as important to identify the things that you don't want to do when you're in, you know, the college years, as much as what you do want to do. So you can eliminate a lot of things. You know, I remember being a journalism major, but writing was actually not the thing I ended up wanting to really do. So you can try, you know, and test in a very safe environment there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what I always think about is, and so I have a sociology and education, but when I would like sit down and you can do this in high school too, when you sit down and look at your class schedule or your courses, like what are you drawn to and why? Like what are the courses that are interesting to you? And all the ones about people and culture, I'd be like, this is like a course. Like, I can't believe I get to take a class about that. And that sort of clued me in that was something that I was interested in. So definitely think about where you're drawn in school, but also in, you know, your hobbies and your personal life too. I think that can clue you into what you'll be fulfilled with later.
It's just so naturally apparent that you are passionate about the work. And so you enjoy it so much, which many people can't necessarily say, you know, so you've found a way to figure that out and design your career around those things. So it's exciting to see that happen.
Yeah, I'm happy to love my job. And I'm not going to lie, it's very, very stressful. I've really struggled with that being a young leader doing a big project, but I think it's worth it because it is fulfilling and I do enjoy it at the end of the day. I don't, you know, dread Monday mornings. I look forward to them.
That's very important. We spend a lot of time at work and what you're doing matters a lot. Well, we do usually end with what we call lightning round. So a little bit of a surprise, but the exercise is really just, I'll say a word and you tell me the first word that comes to mind when I say that.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sure.
Okay. So first word is scholarship.
Well, the Mitchell Institute scholarship.
Awesome. Education.
Hands-on.
And Maine.
I'm looking out my window here, so I'm thinking of snowy weather.
Yes, for those listening, we are sitting here talking to each other, looking out the window at a big snowstorm, and it's gorgeous. So
yes,
very
yes.
Excited. Well, Amarinda, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Your story is incredibly unique. Love to hear about how you got to where you are. And we're really excited and cheering for you as you think about the next stage with the museum and where it's headed.
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone listening, if you're coming home and you've got little kids eventually in your life, please stop by the Children's Museum. I'd love to meet you.
I'm sure it's just as exciting and fun for adults too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for joining us for today's episode of Scholars Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.